Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today and share God's word with you. Think of our perspective is going to be taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And Isaiah said in chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. And my praise I will not give to another, nor share my glory with idols." Pretty interesting thought. In Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other." Just want to say that again. It's spoken over and over and over. In the book of Isaiah, "I am the Lord, and that is my name. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the darkness and create the light. I bring prosperity and create disaster." That's something that most people don't realize. It says, "I create prosperity and disaster. I, the Lord, do these things." And so when we think and reflect back on this last year, we may say, really? And so today I've titled my message as "Our Incomparable God in Trials, in Tumbles, and in Triumphs." Also, making sense of life in a chaotic world. And a lot of us have been there. Let's just stop and pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the book of Isaiah. I thank you for this prophet who prophesied and foretold the future to a number of generations. And Father, we pray that as we look into your word, that we might learn that you are the only one, the only God, who can foretell the future, tell the end from the beginning. And so, Lord, we can come to you with confidence and know that you hear and not only hear us, but answer us. We thank you for your great love as we've been singing. And we pray for the fries out there in the Congo and in the Dominican or the Democratic Republic of Congo. And we pray that you'd keep them safe. We thank you for our time with them when they were looking forward to going out to the field. And we ask your blessing and safety for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On August the 22nd, it's just a whole year ago, 2016, the town of Westlock and the county of Westlock was deluged with 6 to 8 inches of rain, depending on where you lived. An estimate of 240 houses or basements and businesses were flooded, with millions of dollars collected in insurance and probably millions of dollars that weren't covered. It was called the rain of the century, and surprise, surprise, I was on my way to Edmonton to get our rug shampooer to do our basement rugs, but before I got home, they had been washed. This year may have been an experience in other such devastations for you. The trial of circumstances. You may have experienced the loss of a job. You may have experienced the loss of a family member in death, or in distance, or in relationships. You may have experienced the loss of health with sudden implications for your life and your lifestyle. And when we are sideswiped by circumstances, or when we have a head-on collision with life itself, where do we turn? To whom do we turn? can we really know and for certain know God says, I have your back. Or the passage that was in my daily light, the devotional reading for the next day, August the 23rd. I got to share that with you. This little book was in good shape until that flood. It happened to be in my pocket when I was so soaked with rain. And so when it dried out, it split. But it's a devotional book that I got when I was in Bible school. So it's about 55 years old, I guess. Something like that. I don't want to even think about how old it is, but it's really old. But this is the reading on August the 23rd, the day after the flood. Thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, he that formed you. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When I read that, did something for my heart. I said to myself, I believe that God has something for us as our rugs and the underlay for our basement was all on the lawn and a lot of the gyprock as well. And underneath the underlay, there was an Awanaverse. And on that cement floor, this verse was there, soaked. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Well, I wasn't exactly jumping up and down with joy. In fact, probably my shoes were squishing with water. But God asks us about trials. Why do trials come our way? Jesus said to his disciples, expect them. They will come. Sometimes they will come like flocks of birds, as you may know. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Yeah, get really excited about those tribulations. I have overcome the world. So in the world, we can look for things that are going to be troublesome. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, God says, God is our refuge and strength. A refuge is a place to take shelter in a storm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. When the sun's shining? No. It says, a very present help in trouble. So, we as Christians are not exempt. Neighbors next door didn't get flooded on either side. And so the neighbor comes over and he says, I thought you, as a man of God, you wouldn't have to experience that. I said, surprise, surprise. Yeah, God sends the rain upon both the just and the unjust, right? God sends the rain sometimes in abundance, more than we expect. Why? The King James in 1 Peter 1 and 7 says, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. When? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of our faith may well bring pain and suffering, and it may be in the now, but it's designed for us to be strengthened, and it takes us into a place of depending more fully on God. So often when everything is sunny and good, we are depending on ourselves, but God wants us to depend on Him. So the book of Isaiah is a great place to be. And for a year, because of that verse, I began to read carefully the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters, as does the 66 books in the Bible. Isaiah was a prophet who foretold the future. And he foretold it in such a way, critics of Isaiah said, it's not possible. There must have been more than one Isaiah. So they said there's Deutero, two Isaiahs at least. Just like the prophet Daniel, because of his prophecy, and he foretold the coming of the four world kingdoms and gave such detail of how that they would come into being that people said, this is not possible. But that's who our God is. God foretells the beginning, the end from the beginning. And as we read the Bible and realize that, we realize just how amazing God is. August the 5th and 6th was the 40th anniversary of the graduating class of 1977. Harvey Stewart returned for it and was the MC. He found out that a number of his classmates had trusted the Lord and became believers as he had. In his early days, Harvey had got into drugs and stuff, and as a last thing in his life, he went and joined teen missions. And I know that Eric knows a lot about that. He went and joined teen missions, and it was in teen missions that he gave his life to the Lord and has been serving God for his life. And so Harvey was one of those that trusted the Lord of the class of 1977. After the family Bible hour, Harvey said to me, and I'm using the word Jay, do you know a fellow named Jay? I said, oh yeah, I know him. He attended Briarcrest Bible College for a year. And this is no reflection on Briarcrest. Jay was a true intellectual, and he grew up in an atheistic home. He roomed and boarded at a most wonderful and godly family member, Bob Seal. You know Bob Seal, and so does Tim from Sherbrooke, Quebec. Jay questioned everything, and he went on to get his PhD, but he worked for me painting, and I really didn't hire him, but I had so many jobs painting that I helped Jay with the detail of painting houses. And so we got to know each other pretty well over the summer. Well, Jay reverted to his atheistic claims. Recently, and as a head of the religious department at the U of A, he took a sabbatical leave to debate and debunk Christian institutions that believed in the God of creation. You say, how can that happen? Didn't he have some good teaching? Oh, yes, he did. Didn't he have some good teachers? Yes, he did. Didn't he have good examples? Oh, yes, he did. And if you were here for Trevor's message, you would remember the different types of soil. Some, the rocky soil immediately grew up, but because there was no root, it withered and died. We need to take into account those kind of reactions to the gospel story, because we'll see people that will immediately respond and like they've got to know the Lord for sure. They may be in our Bible schools. And sometimes that's disconcerting. So Trevor's message on the sower, which is Jesus Christ, the seed, which is the Word of God, and the soil, which is our hearts, was very perceptive and should be an explanation of what happens to people along the road. God wants us to truly know His Son. Jesus said in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And sometimes that's startling. And it should cause us to ask the question, have I truly trusted Jesus Christ? Have I been born into His family? Birth is never a progression. Birth happens, and that person is born. None of your kids took months and months to be born, did they? There was conception, then there was the time of birth. And we must realize that that's what Jesus was saying. He said, Nicodemus, you're a religious leader. You are the spokesman. You are the speaker of the house in the temple of the Lord. He said, Nicodemus, you absolutely, it's an imperative, must be born again. And if you are here today, you must be born again. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's pretty serious. The interesting thing is, from our perspective, we don't always know who truly is born again. They look just like any and every other Christian. But in John chapter 17, 11 and 12, it says, Jesus in His high priestly prayer said, all that the Father has given to me will come to me, and none has been lost except the son of perdition, which is Judas Iscariot. Jesus truly is a good shepherd. Any person who runs sheep and at the end of the year has never lost a sheep is a wonderful shepherd, and that's who Jesus is. He has never lost a sheep. I stood in the marketplace in Bombay on market day, and there were hundreds, maybe there was 1,000 sheep in the street, and there were shepherds, and they stood there, and they were on their way to market. They didn't have dogs, and they didn't have quads, and they didn't have those kind of things to drive their sheep. And I watched a shepherd with his sheep, and all that you could see was sheep going through the crowd, following the shepherd's voice. And when this shepherd got to the other side, I knew he had all his sheep. And the reason I knew that was because his sheep all had a nice pink mark on their back. And when the shepherd got to the other side of all these other sheep, all the sheep had marks on their back. They knew the shepherd's voice. They knew. Just like the good shepherd of John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a wonderful promise in a chaotic and a collapsing kind of world that we live in today. When I began to think about my message, I went to the book of Isaiah and thought of our incomparable God and King. Three times in Isaiah, Isaiah 40 and 18, Isaiah 25, 40 and 25, Isaiah 46 and 5. God throws out the challenge to all other followers of God's or religions, in Isaiah 46 and 5. And he says this, and you should go through and mark these. To whom will you compare me? Or count me equal? Is there anyone who's my equal? Any gods out there? To whom will you liken me? That we may be compared. Isaiah 40 and verse 18. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? Those verses are Isaiah 46 and verse 5, Isaiah 40 and verse 18, Isaiah 40 and verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created them? Who created all of these? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one, the billions of stars, and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. That's pretty breathtaking. When we think that God folded out the heavens, he will fold them up again. How fast did Jesus travel from the time that he rose from the dead to being in the presence of his Father and come back and go into the upper room with his 12 disciples the same day? How fast do angels travel? Speed of light? I don't think so. We have an amazing God. What is God's challenge to false religion from the book of Isaiah? There's a tremendous challenge. Is God challenging the idol worshippers or those that worship other things? Isaiah 40 and verse 21. You might want to write this down too. Isaiah 41 and verse 21. Present your case, say to the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Bring out your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us the former things so that we may consider them and know their final outcome, or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds so that we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. This is sarcasm even in the prophecy of Isaiah. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Our God boldly predicts future events and brought them to pass. Remember Isaiah, the prophet, the prophecies through the reign of three different kings, Uzziah, Joktan, and Hezekiah. So Isaiah lived from about 750 BC to 700 BC. And in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 1, he names Cyrus the Great the head of the Persian empire. After the Babylonians, who came to power in 539 BC. He named him by name Cyrus, my servant. He predicted the incarnation of Jesus Christ 700 plus years in advance. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it says that the Messiah would be virgin born. And this has been a controversy ever since. But Jesus was born. He was born of the Virgin Mary. In Isaiah 7 and 14, it said he would be Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And cults and other false religions have said, no, Jesus isn't God. Oh, yes, he is. He was predicted to be born in his incarnation in Bethlehem. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. That's why Isaiah says, tell us the future if you're a God, right? Let's see it come to pass. And there are no takers. In fact, the Muslims say that Jesus isn't God. He was just one of the prophets. But is he? No, he's not. Hebrews chapter 1 says that in times past, God spoke to us through his prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath created all things, and by whom he has sustained all things. And he is the Redeemer. And in Isaiah, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, the writer of the Hebrews says, and to which of the angels does he say at any time, you are my son? This day have I begotten you. And he says to the angels, let all the angels worship him. Would God break the first commandment and tell the angels to worship Jesus if he's not God? Then he says, your throne, O God, is from everlasting to everlasting, is a scepter of your kingdom. Wow. Wow. This is a God that we follow. And when we go on to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Prediction that hasn't come true yet, right? Jesus has not taken over the governmental authority. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his government shall be no end. That's coming. Jesus is the Prince of Peace in this world of chaos. This is a world of chaos, isn't it? But God hasn't lost control. He's coming back to set things straight. We're looking forward to his return. So we find that the Bible, we find that Isaiah promises and predicts and gives future events that happened. And we're looking forward to some that he predicted and they aren't yet fulfilled. So one of the marks of our true God is the historical events that he predicted so long ago. Yes, Jesus is the sovereign Lord and creator of all that we see. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who measured the water in the hollow of his hand? Have you ever tried to hold water in your hand? God measured all the oceans and all the water in the hollow of his hand. How big is our God? He pardon me, my voice is going. Or with the breadth of his hand, marked off the heavens. Those billions of light years, he marked off with the width of his hand. And he weighed the mountains in the scale. You got a scale at home that you measure the weight of letters? He measured the weight of the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Who has understood the mind of the Lord? Or instructed him as his counselor? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Or who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding. Surely the nations are a drop in the bucket. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? You didn't know that was a Bible. I didn't. A Bible term. The nations are a drop in God's bucket. Though we see nations shaking, wars and rumors of wars, we need not shake. We need not fear. Heaven and earth, the Bible says, and this again, Isaiah refers to this, the stability of the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The word, my Bible, is more secure than what I'm standing on this earth. So we take courage in a God, this kind of God. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Can we trust him when things begin to shake? I want to turn again to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews gives the superiority of Christ over the prophets. He's greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses, his servant, because he's the builder of the house, and Moses was the one who kept the house. He's greater than Joshua. And in chapter 3, he's greater than the priesthood of Aaron and all the sacrifices. Not one person was ever freed from their sin with all the rivers of the millions of sacrifices of sheep and goats and bulls slaughtered on Jewish altars. But Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice by himself, one sacrifice, we are forever sanctified, made perfect through that one sacrifice. And so when we get through the book of Hebrews, in the superiority of Christ, greater than Aaron, greater than the sacrifices, we find we need not shake in the presence of Almighty God. And I'd just like to read just that as a closing portion in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Is your name there? Our name written in God's book. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel. And then it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If you did not escape when you refused him, much less will we. If we turn away from him who warns us from heaven, at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken remains. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. Are you part of God's unshakable kingdom? Wow. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that though we may see lots of things shaking, and our own person may seem to be under attack, Lord, we know that the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. And I pray that it might be to the praise and to the glory and to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he is coming again for all his saints. Lord, we look forward to your coming. Lord, we just pray for each one here today, and we ask your blessing, Lord. Help us not to be shaken by what we see, but help us to cling to the everlasting God, the Lord Jesus. We give you thanks now. Amen. If you're not certain that you have put your faith in Christ, make sure that you have. We can know for certain that we have been born again into his kingdom. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have, present tense, we have peace with God through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you all.